God's word today, we will turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. And then we will turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. God is the one who rewards. God is the one who rewards. God is the one who rewards. To those who serve him with all his heart, with all his might, everything that he has, God gives him his inheritance as a reward. And to those who do things with all their strength, God rewards them in the end and remembers them, as written in Mark. Our faith is to believe this fact. As a Christian, living faithfully is good, but we need to believe that those who believe in him are rewarded, for God is the one who rewards according to what one has done. Our life of faith is living, looking towards the inheritance, the reward of inheritance we are to receive, and therefore, in whatever we do, giving our all our heart, soul, and mind. So it is to do with everything that I have. And this is the life of faith that we ought to live. Today's sermon is with everything that I have. Whatever society and organization, people like those who give their everything, such as their talent and all that they have. And such people are valued and they are praised for their good work, for their efforts, and therefore they desire to give them a reward for their hard efforts. However, in contrast, there is a word in Korean, benjiri, for those who are slackers, those who are lazy in their work, and no one likes them. Initially, they may seem like they have knowledge and skills and experience, etc. But if they do not give their all and try their best and they slack off, then it comes to naught and no one likes them. And this is the same thing in God's eyes. The Bible records of how faithful God has been, starting with the work of creation. One day this creation he created will burn up. This world that he will one day command to burn up, he created it with so much knowledge and power and strength, with all that he has, with all his might, he created. And the more and more we know, it is unbelievable, because one day all creation will disappear. But if we learn about the way creation was made, we come to fear and revere God. In Psalms chapter 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So there is no way that we can fully understand his mysterious works. So how can we describe how great he is? Even the stars, how he has created the infinite number of stars, and how exactly he created all things to be and the way all things are. Everything was done so precisely and exactly. And when we think about how he can do all things, if God says he will do something, he surely does it, and does it with all his might. With everything that he has, he does. And through nature, he shows how much he doesn't hold back what is precious to him. And we see this through how he sent his son. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He sent his one and only son, which is his everything. Even if we were told to give our one and only child, and it certainly would not be easy for it's so precious, but God, he gave his only son who was so precious to him. And though he knew how humans would treat him, he still sent his son. He did everything that he could. And the history of the Bible records this. When Israel was in Egypt and lived there in slavery, God sent Moses to liberate them. Moses said that he was too old and he was weak and he couldn't speak well and lost his strength. So how could he do this? But God assured him that he would be able to do it through him, for God would be with him. And through so many works and miracles, he showed to Egypt, starting with Pharaoh, eventually all the Egyptians, they lifted their hands and said, "We cannot take it anymore." So overnight, after being enslaved for 430 years, the Israelites were able to leave Egypt. In order for them to remember this truth, he made them walk through the Red Sea on dry land, and also to live in the desert for 40 years. And there God said that he would send manna, and he did. And he also provided them with water from the rocks, and he fed and clothed them so they were not lacking anything. And we call this God's works and miracles. Despite all of this, however, they still complained and grumbled. And because God was frustrated with them, he was saying to Israel, "What kind of God, through signs and wonders, have you ever seen driven his people out like this? Have you ever seen such God? I have provided for you so that you don't lack, yet you grumble and complain." And in order for them to not forget that God delivered them from Egypt, he instructed them to build the temple, and he also gave them the festivals to remember this. So whatever festival it was, they were to remember that God led them out of Egypt. Through his miracles and wonders, he led them out, and they were to not forget this, that it was God Jehovah who was with them and who helped them out. As a tabernacle was for this purpose, for them to remember, he said, "Israel, what is it that Jehovah asks of you? Have I asked for the stars or to raise the dead?" So he said, "Look at what Jehovah has done for you, and to keep the commands and to love your Lord Jehovah with all your heart, your mind, and strength, and to keep the commandments. Is it that I'm asking too much of you?" So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, the Lord said this to them. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." So when there were those who complained and grumbled, he put them to death, and he continued to lead the Israelites through his works and miracles to see if they truly loved and feared Jehovah. to see if they truly loved him with all their mind, their strength, and their soul, he sent the prophets, and he even sent those who dreamed visions. So why were there false prophets who tempted the Israelites, who tempted them with these false visions? It was to test them to see if they truly loved their God Jehovah with all their heart and their mind and their strength. It says in Deuteronomy 13 verse 3, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. As the history of Israel continued, there was a man named Samson. So what do you think of when you think of Samson? You think of his hair. And then, my, Delilah. But Samson, in the end, was captured because he confessed to Delilah about the secret of his strength. And he also had his eyes gouged out. They cut his hair, and so he had no strength. And they jailed him, but his hair grew out while he was imprisoned, and the people forgot about this. And before they killed him, in order to use him as entertainment, it wasn't in a big coliseum, but in a place like a small field. The image of Samson was so shameful, and he was chained up. For his eyes were gouged out, and it was just such a pitiful and shameful sight. But Samson said, he prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson said, these Philistines, these Gentiles, with all my strength, I want to get rid of them and take revenge on those who mocked him. So he took hold of the pillars and the entire building collapsed. He killed more Philistines than he did while alive. With all his strength, he did so. He was inside a dark prison and to one who couldn't see anymore. He asked how he could be put to shame and mocked by the Gentiles. And so he repented of his wicked ways, and with all his strength, he did this great work with all his might. And we also know of David. When he fought against the Philistines, he didn't have any regard for his own life. He did not have any regard for his own life, though he knew he could die. But with everything that he had, he took on the dangers. He took on the risks. And he fought against them, and there was no greater warrior than him. He took on the risks and did not spare his life. So continuing victory after victory, he became a king. And he desired to build a temple for God. So the ark that was once captured by the Philistines, he retrieved it and returned it back to where he was. And when it returned, he was so joyful. He was so happy and so he danced with all his strength and might. He danced before the Lord Jehovah with all his strength and might. During that time, the clothes they wore had a slit. So when he leapt around dancing, he exposed himself. For back then, they didn't have any undergarments. So the high priest at that time wore precious garments, but the regular, aside from them, the regular people did not. So while David was jumping around like this, exposing himself, His wife rebuked him and asked how a king could behave like a vulgar fellow. But David, he replied that he'd become even less dignified in the eyes of the slaves. And so, you know, so he, with all his might, he leapt up and down for the Lord, dancing. So you know why we praise jumping and praising? Is to rejoice like David did. Later, Solomon, he built the temple. He had a much possessions already, but he gave everything to build up the temple of Jerusalem. And so we can call it the Temple of Solomon as well, for he, with everything that he had, with all his might, he built the temple. So what God required from the prophet was God told them to cry out, to shout out without holding back, and to blow the trumpets, to not hold back and with loud voices so others can hear. He said to confess the sins of the people. So what God required for all those who were close to him was to do all things with everything that they have, that is, giving all of one's might, and this was the requirement in the Old Testament, and those who gave all their might, God was pleased with them, and there are those recorded in the Bible, remembered by him. After time passed, Jesus Christ, he appeared. And he came before the temple, and what did he say? And what was the temple made for? It was to remember all the works and miracles of what God had done and how he kept all his promises. And they were reminded of this through the temple. But before this very temple, Jesus appeared and he said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The temple he was saying to destroy was the temple of Jerusalem, and it reminded them of how painstakingly God created everything by his word. So the temple reminded them of the Creator God who made all things by his word. So by his word, he made all things. And the temple reminded them of this. But Jesus said to destroy the temple, for they were to no longer remember just the Creator God. But Jesus said this to tell them to know God who came in the flesh. To know the one who came in the flesh, the God who came in the flesh. So the temple he would raise back up again would be the temple of his body. And the name that is in him is the name Yeshua. The name Yeshua. Yeshua. Yeshua, he is the Son of God, and he is the Word who came in the flesh. So Jehovah, he spoke through his word to create all things. And of course, they are the same. In the Old Testament, they knew the Creator God, Jehovah. So Jehovah, he created creation by his word. But Yeshua is the word who came in the flesh and did work in the flesh. So everyone right now is thinking about the praise competition. And I know you're trying to memorize your moves. But you, more importantly, why are we doing this? So I knew it. I knew none of you would be able to pay attention because of the praise competition. But with all my heart, my mind, and strength and knowledge, I will preach today's message. With everything that I have, I will do so. Hallelujah. So the era in which Jehovah created all things through his word had come to an end. Now the word that created all things has come in the flesh to do work in the flesh. So Jesus is showing all that he will do through his body. And there was a woman who had a precious alabaster jar of perfume. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head and as he was reclining at the table. And Jesus, he said, when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. So before he left, he told the woman that her sins are forgiven, and Jesus gave the greatest praise that her sins have been forgiven, for she had given her all. She had given everything that she could. And that is why he said, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. And then this was how she was rewarded for what she had done. And Jesus also said that it be recorded for ages of what she has done. And there was also a very poor woman. When people were coming before the temple to give offering, he saw the rich gave and also the poor. He saw that the rich gave much. It says many rich people threw in large amounts. But there was a poor widow who didn't have much and gave two small copper coins. It may be worth maybe about $2 in our time. So compared to what the rich gave, it was not much. So the rich gave in large amounts, but she only gave two copper coins. But Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So there is no promise of what will happen tomorrow, but even so, she gave as if she knew there's nothing left for her tomorrow, and she gave her all. And so Jesus remembered her for that. Jesus praised her for that. So even if to others it seems like nothing, Jesus saw it and said she gave her everything. And when we do so, he remembers it. He remembered her for giving for her, putting in everything, all that she had to live on. And so he remembered this. So in the beginning, I said that God, he remembers those who give all their might and who give their all. That God remembers for years and years. So do you desire for God to remember you? Amen. So when the poor has given everything, even if you are rich, if you give everything, he will remember you. So when do you want him to remember you? When you pray, you want him to remember you. When you give your all, you want him to remember you. And there's also a very special moment when we desire for him to remember us, and it's when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Amen. So how great would that be? So this woman, do you think Jesus will remember them when he returns? Do you think he will remember them? Yes, he will surely remember them when he returns in the air and calls them to the banquet in heaven. So Jesus, he died. And as he died, he said, "It is finished." So why did he say that it is finished? What did he fulfill? What did he finish? So remember, he remembers this very moment right now. And today, the last worship service of this year, 2021, we will give our last worship just like this. So we shouldn't say, "I wish I knew it was my last, otherwise I would have given my all." For you will regret it. So we have to give all our faith with everything that we have, just like the woman who gave her everything and all her possessions, so that our Lord will remember us. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, it is finished, meaning that he gave all that he has. Everything that he has, he gave. Even during his public ministry, from the break of dawn, he prayed until late at night. And not only just prayers, he fasted. He did everything that he could possibly do. And also on the the hill of Gethsemane, he prayed so hard that his sweat was like drops of blood. Even his flesh, as it was whipped and torn, as he was nailed to the cross and shed all his blood and water, he poured out everything. Everything that he had, he poured out. He poured out his life. So he said to the Father, "Receive my spirit," as he poured out everything. He asked the Father to receive his spirit, and he surely believed that the Father would receive his spirit, which he surely did. So the fact that if we die according to the Father's will, we receive the reward of his inheritance. The reward is we will resurrect. But not only that, Jesus did all these things knowing that he would receive it as inheritance and be given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And the devil who mocked him and left his proper position, who left his domain and thought of his place as nothing, as he had a wicked thought to become like God and seek his throne, he was condemned. And so with his death, Jesus condemned the devil. And also, he freed all mankind from slavery of the devil. And the blood that he shed, to those who believe this blood, he allows them to become his children. And with the right as the children of God, he allows to receive the reward of his inheritance. Amen. So Jesus, he died and resurrected, and he ascended to heaven and sits on the throne at the right hand of God, and sits as the one with the greatest authority. He reigns over all things. He became the one who rules for eternity. And from there, he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit to believers. And it's not to give prophecy, to do this or that, to go here or go there. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, we now gain a goal to say that I will receive the reward of the throne as an inheritance. I will inherit the throne. And the Holy Spirit allows you to know this fact and to have such holy zeal. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we are Christians, then we have work we ought to do. So most churches now say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he is the Savior. And if you believe in this, you will be saved, and you go to heaven, and then you receive eternal life, and you can become a king. So many churches teach false things. Faith is accepting this, yes. But the life of faith, there needs to be a life of faith, which is taking hold of what he has given us, what he has entrusted us, and with that, giving all our might, with everything that we have, we ought to live this life of faith. So therefore, first, we give our strength, with all our strength, as we read in the opening passage in Colossians. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Do you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. So now we must live a faith life. So faith is believing this fact, acknowledging this. And now what we must do is to live a faith life So therefore, there must be actions. There must be labor. We have to strive. We have to put in effort to do such things. It's like when a woman is giving labor. At the hospital, there are labor rooms and delivery rooms where the mother can give birth. So when we work and put in all our might, it should be as if we are giving birth to a child. So like when we evangelize, Jesus commanded us to make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So evangelizing is hard in itself. And what's even harder is teaching them to obey. So trying to bring someone to church is very difficult. But even harder is putting an effort to make that person a member of our church. And at times, because it's so difficult, you want to give up. And you buy them coffee, you give them rides, and sometimes they don't want to come or things come up, and it's so hard and it is so disappointing at times. But as we read, whatever we do it with all our might, like giving birth. In Korea, in the past, we used to give birth at home. And in the Korean homes, there were these stepping stones. So when the mothers, they stepped into the house, they would take off their shoes on these the stepping stone. And when they entered the room, they before entering the room, they looked back at their shoes. For they wonder if they'd ever be able to wear these shoes again, if they'd be able to survive this labor. So in fact, many have died while giving labor. So just like that, in order to make one who was saved, to make one who was upright and mature to be saved in the end, there is labor required, which is so, so difficult. So what my mom used to say to me was, you give birth to the flesh, but not on the inside. So this is was a old Korean saying that you give birth to the flesh, but not the inside. Meaning that to make a person with good attributes and good character is very difficult. To make an upright person, one who is mature in character, it's difficult enough. But to make a good and mature Christian is all the more difficult. So with all your heart and with all your strength, with everything that you have, you sacrifice and teach them like you would do to a child. You teach them, you clothe them, you guide them like you would to a child. And this is a work we have to do, that we ought to do. For faith is fixing all of our might on Jesus. Striving to do our best. So every Christian, whoever it is, if we have heard the gospel of Jesus, we now have this work to spread the gospel and to preach to souls and to raise sanctified and upright ones to be mature Christians. Amen. And second, we do not hold anything back. Paul and Barnabas, if they could, they would take out their eyes for those who heard the gospel. So they took on great risks and did not spare their lives. It says, I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So, and there was an evangelist, an older woman, who wanted to build her own church, but she lacked money, she lacked the funds, and was about to be kicked out. So she didn't have anything, but she wanted to even sell part of her eye, the cornea, so that she could build her church. And some people stopped her. And there was another church where the pastor had a kidney disease. And so the members said that they'd donate their kidney to the pastor. So I don't know if in our church we have people willing to donate their organs. But Paul, he wrote in his letters that if he could, he would take out his eyes for them. And he truly meant it. So if there are people who truly want to give their everything, wouldn't God remember them? So what is it that I have that I can give? So let us reflect. What is it that I have that I can give? If you have money or whatever it may be. Maybe you don't have money, but you have a healthy body and you have corneas and you have kidneys. If the Lord truly needs it, I want to give it to the Lord. Are there any of us like this here? If we truly understand this, then we can have a better understanding of the parable of the talents. So we heard this parable many times. So there was a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another he gave 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away, and he didn't tell them at exact what time he would come. But it says that after a long time, the master of those servants came back to settle accounts with them. And so he came to settle accounts, and the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, and the one who had the 2 talents came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more." And so the master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And so this servant was also praised likewise. However, there was the one who received the 1 talent who came forward, who said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and lazy servant. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. That you should have given it to the bank so that you can at least collect interest." Meaning that he should have done something. Like, how could you not have done anything? So therefore, he said, "You wicked and lazy servant." He commanded that this servant be thrown out where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we hear this parable so many times, the 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. It's not just another story. But we have to know that Jesus Christ will surely return. You know that. That our Lord Jesus Christ will surely return. And he will come to settle accounts with us. Amen. He will come to judge the living and the dead. To those who are good and faithful servants, he will take to the eternal banquet, to heaven, and enter the joy of the master. But the others, the wicked and lazy servant, will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Though it will be better than hell, but there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth where it is dark and not even a glimpse of light or neighbor or friends. And such will be thrown there, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and will be in regret forever. So can we go to such a place? So we must not go to hell, and we must not go to the dark place either. Is there any one of you who thinks it's okay to go to hell? That you think that it's okay to go to hell? If so, raise your hand. Then stand up and you can leave. No need to come here again. No need to come to church. And does anyone think it is okay to go to the dark place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Then raise your hand. Stand up. And you can also leave. No need to come here. So we must not go to hell, and we must not go to the dark place either. Amen. Amen. Then what must we do? Then we have to do our very best. With all that we have, we strive to do our best. We have to give all our might and our time. Our time is the greatest asset that we have. The Bible regards being a wicked and lazy servant as the greatest sin. Those who do not take the opportunity God gives, God sees as wicked and lazy. And such people will weep and gnash their teeth and not avoid the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So then what must we do? Then we have to give our best, do our very best with all our might, with everything that we have. Amen. You may say it's already hard to live. Why can you just comfort us and just take it easy? And some may ask why we are stressing this so much. But the Bible tells us this. Who is God? God is the one who rewards, and he rewards according to what we have done, according to our works. And he desires for us to reign in eternity in the throne in heaven. We have been forgiven by believing in Jesus. And it's not by our works or merits, but just by acknowledging and believing. And now that we have this faith, we have to do something. We must do something. With all that we have, we must do something. We have to dedicate our time, our health, our skills, our talents, all that we have to do something for him. So in the Paralympics, where there are people who have physical or intellectual disabilities in some form. When people who see this, they may think that it's uncomfortable or embarrassing for those without arms or without a foot or without a leg, and they're running and racing with all they have, or swimming. So though they may not have an arm or a leg, with all that they have, they give their very best. They strive to do their best. So with what they have, they do their best. So we ought to do the same. So So with all that we have, we try our best. With whatever skill, whatever talent, if you can play an instrument, or you can read music, or you can read, or you can drive, all that we have, we ought to do our best so that when the Lord returns, we can be welcomed by Him as a good and faithful servant. So with what the Lord has given us, with what He has entrusted us, we do all our might so that on the day that He returns, He calls us the good and faithful servant, and we can enter the banquet in the air and live with Him forever. However, the problem is our faith. So no one wants to go to hell. And we have the blood of Jesus, and we have received by grace His blood. But this is not enough. This drop of blood has to live and to grow and mature to become a chick. And like a chick that grows to finally crack out of its shell to enter the resurrection to life. And only those can enter the feast. However, those who give up on the way, they will be thrown into the dark place. Just like David danced and leaped with all his might before the Lord, with all his strength, he danced before the Lord. We ought to do the same, to do our very best, to love God with all our might. So we started the year 2021. It was hectic, and now it's already coming to a close. Time just flies by so quickly. So the day that the Lord returns will be the same. And when he comes to settle accounts, can we truly say that we truly did our best and gave all our might? So today, with the praise competition, this is an opportunity for us, with all that we have, to give our all in order to show all we have for God. It's not just about singing and dancing, but it's an opportunity for us to show that we gave our very best. That through this, it's an opportunity for us so our hearts and minds can be united as one, and we give our best to love one another and to rely on each other as members and as friends. So through our efforts, we show through our praise, our performance, all our efforts given as a group together. Amen, hallelujah. So this year, our year has ended, and there are many things we regret. But He has given us another opportunity. So let us resolve to give our all, to do our very best. And though others may call me foolish, but with the two legs that we have, with the things that we have, we give our everything. So some elders say, Pastor, you are the youngest among us, but for me, I'm aging just like everyone else, and it's becoming harder and harder for me. But I am giving my everything to do my best. So let us all give our very best so we have no regrets, and so that on the day of our Lord's return, we can go confidently before Him and with Him. Let us pray. So what does the Lord want from us? He doesn't ask us for the impossible or for something grand, but what He asks of us, what He wants us to do, is to give it our very best. To give our all, to do our very best.